Professor Dr. Eileen Marty is at Florida International University, where she runs the travel medicine program. Dr. Marty, good morning. Saw a very interesting and kind of alarming health headline the other day. Lung cancer screening guidelines miss 65% of patients, according to a new study. What's this all about?
Well, it's a brilliant study done in Chicago by Northwestern, and so that makes it extremely relevant for what's going on in Illinois and in Chicago in particular. It's one study, right? And it's a good study. And here's the thing. Lung cancer is, without a doubt, the top killer in terms of cancers in the U.S., no doubt about it. And among the types of lung cancers, what we call non-small cell lung cancer is by far the worst. That's about 80 to 85% of lung cancers. So that cancer kills more Americans than breast cancer, colorectal cancer, and prostate cancer combined. So it's a big deal. Now, this study looked at the criteria that exists for how we screen people for these cancers. So the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force says you have to be 50 or above, or 50 to 80 years old, really. You had to have smoked at least 20 pack years, and that's a pack year is one pack of cigarettes per day, right, for 1 year, right? And then you are currently smoking or you quit smoking in the last 15 years. And the reason for those criteria, of course, is that you want to get the most bang for your buck when you do screening. And it sounded reasonable, but then they looked at, well, who's showing up with cancer in Chicago and then what's really going on? And they found out that only about 35% of the patients that showed up to their health system, which were 997 patients, only 35% would have qualified for that screening criteria. So in other words, 65% would have been invisible. And the invisible was disproportionately women and people who never smoked. And that's because among the non-small cell lung cancers, there's a subtype called adenocarcinoma, which is not necessarily associated with smoking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're pushing very hard to screen everybody above age 40. But really, the jury's not out on that. And part of the reason that that's not necessarily the right decision right now is because there are complications. You know, there are risks to doing that much screening, and there are costs, right? You can have false positives that scare people unnecessarily. You can find overdiagnosis for slow-growing tumors that will never cause a problem in the person. And there's a non-zero risk from annual radiation exposure. Even though the radiation exposure is very low, and not risky in and of itself, if you cumulatively, it can be. So now the team at Northwestern did a better job than the news reporters in talking about that and realizing that we're not quite there yet to do universal screening, but they're pointing out a real defect. And part of the real defect isn't just the fact that most of the people that presented with non-small cell lung cancer didn't fit the criteria, but even those that did often don't show up for the screening. So I think the message is we need to improve our screening techniques and criteria somewhat, but not necessarily to the level of universally everybody above age 40 should be screened.
My dad died of lung cancer. He was 80, and this is more than 20 years ago. And at the time, they weren't doing routine chest x-rays. He was a heavy smoker when he was younger. So under the current guidelines, they in a routine physical, and he had them annually, they would have taken a chest x-ray and maybe spotted it early. Right.
Yes. Under today's criteria, your father absolutely, it would have been malpractice not to do that today. right? Mm-hmm. And they would have detected it absolutely sooner. And by the way, for people with small cell lung cancers, there are a whole bunch of experimental vaccines. Some of them are already being used in major clinical trials that are being developed here and in other countries. In fact, actually, Cuba has one that looks rather effective. These vaccines, these cancer vaccines, are not to prevent cancer, but to empower the body's immune system by training T cells and dendritic cells to attack the tumor that the person has. And these are very, very promising. And there's a number of different platforms being used, like messenger RNA and small short protein fragments, etc. And so there is promise even for those who do present with lung cancer using these new techniques, these new vaccines.
That's good news. We're out of time. I was going to ask you about that arbovirus going around there in Florida. We'll talk about that next time. In the meantime, you can discuss that at Thanksgiving, and I know you will too. Dr. Eileen Marty, hope you have a terrific holiday. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You too.